David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Radio. I'll do the ID. Porque te queremos, baby.
We all thought there was one in there somewhere.
Who's driving this ship this morning?
You.
866-313-3733. Don't forget, coming up at 7:30 in about half an hour here, we've got the judge from Nashville Star. That's the country version of American Idol, and his name is Phil Vassar. He himself is quite the country star, and I'm going to get Phil to weigh in on this one here. Open or close the ports, huh, Phil? But he's going to be tuning in. Also, Mia St. John. Mia the Knockout St. John is one of female boxing's most recognizable stars, and she's going to be on at about an hour from now, 8 o'clock. And why do we do this? Porque te queremos, because we love you, and mostly for the porn stars. We have Janine Lundemiller coming on at 9 o'clock this morning here. That's why we're fighting over the ports, Sasha. We are. It's because we want an America that is safe, that is hygienic, that is predictable, and a place where we're able to access and download porn stars like Janine Lundemiller. You know, Sasha's been trying to decide, should she be a port worker or a porn star? Which one do you think so smart?
Or a country singer.
A country singer. Maybe a country singing porn star. Would you do that?
I would do that.
Would it be a focus on the music or the porn part mostly?
I would sing while I was having sex.
Okay. You've got a stalker already here. But I want you to withhold your judgment, because maybe you might have to become a port worker. This is something that we may have to send out a great call and increase the heat here. Take another call. Steve, Roth Radio, David Lee, you're talking. You, baby.
Dave, good morning.
Okay, Steve, what do you think?
Listen, first of all, the Declaration of Independence was written over 200 years ago. Those laws need to change today. This is a new era. Those are old. It's time to bring up the new stuff. Now, should we racially profile? Absolutely. We should, you know, if they want to come to the land of the free, they're not going to come in here and try to change the language of English like Mexico was doing in Lower California. Not against introducing the language, but trying to change the language, the national language, to Spanish or whatever, is 110% wrong. This is America. Come on in. We'll welcome you. You learn our language, you become a citizen. You want to become a citizen, you have to serve in our military. You turn on our military, we turn around, we execute your family. We make you watch it as we execute your family and make you suffer. You know, about this cartoon, the Muslim, you know, when the pictures were posted of the American soldier hanging from a bridge with his arms and legs ripped off and burned, nobody said a freaking thing about this soldier. Nobody did anything. We write a cartoon. The Dutch write a cartoon about the Prophet Muhammad, and they're throwing Molotov cocktails. They're going crazy. You know something? I'm upset at a few cartoons. Why is it that the Roadrunner drops an anvil on Wile E. Coyote's head all the time? I want to see the Roadrunner get caught. I'm upset by that. These laws need to change. We should profile. We should execute their families as they enter the country.
Okay, well, I'm going to take calls now in reference to what you're talking here, Steve. This is Roth Radio. We give the spotlight. As long as you're extreme, as long as you're ambitious, and you totally believe in what you say, we'll give you the spotlight here, okay? Everybody from a political thought like yourself all the way to lesbian porn stars. You're going to get it all right here. Hopefully, we're going to get a contrasting view. Thanks for giving us a call, and I'm not going to shout over you. That usually happens on this kind of radio. Somebody has a position, they shout you into oblivion, and then they position their thought, and everybody cheers like it's the town hall meeting. You don't get that here. Thanks for calling. Let's see if we can get a conflicting point of view. 866-313-3733. Just go down the list, see what he says.
Pamela,
you're on.
Yes.
What did you think of the last caller? And reflect on what he said, if you would. Go ahead.
I have been listening to all the callers, and it just seems like everybody is just so entirely distraught about what's going on with the ports and abortions and everything.
Okay, stop. They're not doing abortions in the port, from what I'm told, at least not in the last week, so stick to one subject. Okay, go ahead.
I understand that. But the thing with the ports, this is what I have to say. The government has a majority of the control over the port, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do they know that this is not... Bush's ratings are really low right now with the American people. How do people not know that this is just not a ploy? That in the end, when he makes the final vote, he decides, oh no, we're not going to do this now. And all of a sudden, he's the hero.
Okay, I think that you have a good idea of how promotion and tireless self-promotion has become the American way. And in fact, you might make a good promotion publicist director here in the big city at some point in time. But I think that you're thinking like a chess player, several, maybe six or seven moves in advance. And I don't think the current administration is doing that. I think if they were looking for heroism, that it would play out in an issue of life and death, bringing home the soldiers, saving lives, or apportioning extra money for those who have already lost their lives and to their families or something. That's what heroes are made of in the United States, real or fabricated. I think that you're probably given a little too much credit as far as the forward thinking here, but do you believe that everybody is justified in being up in arms about this? Yes or no?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, I understand that it upsets people.
Okay, well, what about our last caller? You heard what he was talking about. Well, how can you reflect on that? He feels that that should be some dramatic and violent rebuke for any kind of transgressions here. What do you think of that?
No.
Okay, no. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just make everybody settle down with your good taste? Or are you going to start racial profiling? Or are you going to start checking into bank records? Or what do you think about tapping phones? Just no? Just yes?
No. I don't believe in tapping phones.
Okay. Do you believe in protecting the ports and not selling them to somebody who is, quote unquote, from out of state?
I do believe that.
Well, that's racial profiling.
I understand that people are concerned, but the whole point of the whole thing is the government has the control. And as long as the government has the control, we can say all we want. But it really is not making any difference.
I don't agree with you at all. I think difference happens slow. When you turn around a little dinghy with one sail, it takes about 20 feet. If you turn around an aircraft carrier, it takes you about 2,000 feet to do it. If you want to land a big plane, a little plane, it takes you about 500 feet. You want to land a giant plane, it's going to take you 2 miles. Getting the government and American culture to turn around, especially a 360-degree reversal on anything, will take decades, but it doesn't mean you don't stop. Think of it like the parrot who starts rubbing his beak on the stone, the great stone. You rub it long enough, no more stone. Agree or disagree?
I agree that you don't stop.
But you're getting a little tired of trying?
No, I'm not getting tired of trying.
Are you getting irritated with trying and you feel like stopping?
No.
Okay, then what's your point? What's your theory?
Well, the point is, okay, Bush took our troops over there after 9/11 went down, okay?
Yes.
The towers not only went down because the planes hit them, wasn't it also...
Stick to the subject, Pam. I love your voice, but you got to use the right words. Stick to the subject. Here we go.
Okay. It's kind of tit for tat. We went over to Iraq, right? Because the terrorists attacked the United States. Now, we're over there...
What's this got to do with the ports, Pamela?
Well, what I'm trying to say about the ports is everybody's saying they don't want the Arabics taking over the ports, that they don't want Arabics in this country.
Yeah, so?
My whole point is this.
Please.
We're over there trying to change their government. Maybe they don't like our government.
Oh, they probably hate our government, but we're there under the auspices of peace is our profession.
Well,
or for one reason or another. I think what you're talking about here is a business transaction that could potentially go sour and probably would, like little Kim in jail. It was only a matter of time. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Pam. Very clear thought. 866-313-3733. Give me some music, baby, one time. All right. give me John. He doesn't want racial profiling, and I'm not even sure if I can describe racial profiling. In fact, I've got a email from Scott in Boston here. Says, can we be clear on something? This is not racial profiling. Racial profiling is when you make a general presumption on an entire race of people based on facts or stereotypes. Well, we're kind of talking about stereotypes. We're talking about headgear. We're talking about facial hair. We're talking about a certain kind of shoes. We're talking about Bashir in Ali G, you know, with the black gloves and the gray suit and, you know, this kind of a thing, whatever his name is. Sorry? What is it?
Borat.
There you go. There's the culture. There's the front bumper of the cultural automobile right up there, Saj. So go ahead. Dial in that next one.
John's
up. Go ahead. You on, John?
Hey, what's up?
You for or against this? What do you think?
I'm actually, like, I have no problem with them actually coming over and supervising the ships and the ports and everything. Just because, how are we as a nation supposed to, like, even develop and progress if we're not even going to trust, like, the foreign countries? Now, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, like, we can't blame a nation for, you know, what happened on 9/11. We can't blame a nation for, you know, those few extremists who went out and did whatever they did. So, you know, it's like everyone relies on foreign products. Like what people said before, we all drive foreign cars. We all, you know, we all, like, want the flat screen TVs. We all, you know, need that type of stuff. We need to rely on, you know, like, foreign countries.
Okay, let me speak to this then and share with me your thought on this. I don't think it's national. I don't think that it's governmental or political. I think it's mostly a religious bias that we're seeing rear a violent head in our culture for the first time in a way that we've never seen before. And I'm going to solicit the memory of that cartoon. A simple cartoon of a guy's face with a bomb on his head. If you didn't know who it was, you wouldn't know even what it was, okay? That's causing riots around the world. It's causing death around the world. Small time, big time, one life is worth a lot to me, okay? And in terms of that cycle of thinking, it's the same religion. Some people say it's an extreme version of it. Some say it's a reformed version of it. It is a shared philosophy to one extreme or another. And that, I think, is what people are keying into. It's not the headgear. It's not that you're from a specific country. It's that there is a affiliation that starts as religious and perhaps turns political, but you can't reason with religion. What's the two things you never, ever, ever talk about in a bar? Simple. Religion and the Van Halen breakup, right? Now, wait. Let's get his opinion on this. Go ahead. Share with me what you think of that.
I just feel like, no, I totally agree with you. That really says something. I just feel that if people want to even go back to the president and tell them, you know, to just negate this whole thing, I just feel that you should let you know, Arab people run the ports, but just have, you know, heavy government supervision. You know, have them stay on top, saying, hey, look, we're letting you do this, but, you know, it's kind of risky, but we're still going to try to at least trust you. At least go into it.
Okay, and you know what? I like the way you think, but I'm assuming that on your driver's license where it says residence, it says Toy Cookie Utopia Fantasy Dreamland, because as you've just heard from the very people who work at the ports, guys who have years of tenure and seniority in there, nobody's going to be watching anything, my friend, and especially when there's drama and stress. Come on, the police have families, Coast Guard have families and kids, the Navy, the Air Force, these are human beings. They're not robots, all right? And you start working in all these other agendas and all these other responsibilities in times of trouble and stress, these people are already stretched to the breaking point. We already don't have the manpower, and it's not going to happen anytime soon because we don't pay those people enough. And in terms of the police and the fire guys, etc., I can testify with absolute accuracy. We treat them when it's time for a paycheck like garbage. And if you think you're going to attract them any faster than you're going to attract our school teachers to educate the kids, who incidentally, when it's time for a paycheck, we treat like garbage. And if they're not going to do it, great, we'll reach for the military, right? Mean green, the recon, we're going to get the Air Force. Hey, bad news. We treat them like garbage too. So no, there's not a lot of people rushing to the ports to sign up to help along. In fact, a lot of people want nothing to do with it because it's been abusive, to say the least. Now, with that in mind, speak to that if you would.
Well, I mean, you kind of just set me down there, but I just feel like I hear exactly what you're saying, but if we're ever supposed to come together as a real American country, so everyone wants to be so patriotic, the way the government likes to, you know, come down on Americans and oppose their rights and limit them, then I don't, you know, I don't think they would have a problem doing it to foreign countries, especially if they've had a history with, you know, wrongdoings and things like that.
I like the way you think, and maybe someday that'll actually transpire. 866-313-3773. I got news for you guys. There's never been a minute of world peace. Don't tell Bono. That comes in from Nick, New York City here. Oh, here's a guy with priorities from Portsmouth, England. Hey, Dave, can I get Sasha's number? Sure, as soon as we figure out the ports. Give me the music one time, baby. Oh! Don't forget, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes here on the phone, it's going to be country star Phil Vassar, and he's in charge of the Nashville country version of American Idol. It's going to be very interesting to get his take on this. I wonder if he'll even speak to this. This is an interesting subject, and the phones are booming. Start at the bottom and work your way up here, Hutch, if you would.
That would be Tony, who's a girl.
Tony, you're a girl?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, there's no identity issues so far. What do you? Okay. What's your thought on the port topic?
Oh, it's making me sick. I'm so upset about it. I agree with you. I do think that, you know, I don't think that the word racial profiling is kind of helping a lot of people, but I'm afraid we're being infiltrated and proliferated, and everybody that thinks that, oh, if something bad happens, the government's going to help, I think they should look to Katrina and what happened in those ports.
Excellent point. That's an excellent point.
My other point that I did want to make, too, is about if they're not able to check the cargo, there's chemical warfare. Be a real easy way to take a lot of us out.
Okay, so you're saying that it should not be given over, that the purse string should not be passed over. Where are you calling from, Tony?
Tom's River, New Jersey.
Okay, what do you do for a living?
I own a fast food drive-in restaurant.
Okay, so you're a real, actual person here.
I'm a burger flipper.
And do you have any connections to the port? You got anybody who's in the longshoreman? Anybody works in uniform and security or anything like that? You got any connections?
I know just a lot of people that work in New York that I'm friends with.
And what are they saying about this?
Everybody. I mean, it doesn't even take going that far in the country. Everybody's up in arms and very upset. And like I say, it's not so much about racial or, you know, it's just the idea of we're sending guys and troops overseas and trying to stop problems over there, and it's like, you know what, why don't we just keep them here and have them take care of our port?
Hey,
it's
you know what?
Getting ridiculous.
That's the most illuminating phone call of the entire morning. Turn the music off. Tony, you win the phone call contest for the first hour and however long it's been. Thank you for calling.
I'd rather win something else from you, but I'll take that for the day.
Big Daddy loves you. Have a great day.
Commercial, please.
David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, davidleeroth.com. Yeah, baby, you got it. And we've got a lot of people international listening in. Os meus amigos que estão falando na português, I know you're down there. Os brasileiros, favor, não me parado onde tino. There's got to be a way, baby. Vamos, Nash. Come with us. And especially in Austin, Texas, Glenn calling in going, how do we get Roth Radio in Austin? Simple, Glenn, you call up your radio station and harass them to death. Get everybody on the block to do the exact same thing. Call your DJs, call the station manager, call the program director, the producers, the janitor, the guy who delivers the news. Papers, everything except outright vandalism, or we can give you further suggestions if those prove futile. And everybody else, you can do the same thing. Real radio needs us. I just somehow know that. I need Sasha, but you need me. And call up your radio stations, Real Radio, around the world, too. You can do this internationally, and you can get us, try and do it with the AFN, and you bet, everybody. We have somebody on the radio right now. He is Phil Vassar. He's the country star, and he is the judge on Nashville Star, the country version of American Idol. Phil, you're on. How are you today?
What's up, David Lee? How you doing?
Did you actually wake up or stay up for this, Phil?
A little bit of both. Man.
A little bit of both. What can you tell the uninitiated about Nashville Star? You're one of the judges. Explain to us what's cooking there for those who don't know.
It's a little. It's like American Idol. Like I said, it's our fourth year now, and but it's a little bit like it. Country artists and you know, sort of rock artists come on, you know, writers, singers, and you know, we get to judge them and tell them if they're good or not. Like that means anything, but.
Okay, and what's the big difference between country and rock today? Because I maintain that if you turn off the sound on the country music channel, it looks like the greatest hits of rock classic television coming out of the early 90s. Agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is. I mean, there's a lot of rock in country now, and, you know, it's changing. It's evolving, which is a good thing, I think. I think it's... You know, music stays the same, it sure gets boring.
Well, I think I think more than the music, actually, it's the attitude. I think there's, I maintain that barbecue is not just for breakfast anymore. It's good for the afternoon and the evening as well. And I think that country understands that. I come from Indiana with a banjo on my knee, okay? I grew up
exactly.
In the great outdoors. And when we talk about American music, then country is what I think of first, okay?
Right.
Well, this is catching on everywhere. I don't care if it's Kid Rock or the Sheryl Crow. Or anybody. What is the attraction that people are finding in country music today? Talk to me, Phil.
You know, I hope it's you know, lyrically pretty cool. You know, I think you know, a lot of the grooves and it's really rocking, but I think it still says something, and I think that's what country music is. It's just you know, it's just music written from the heart and soul. You know, it's not complicated. It's just for men and women that want to say something and understand it, you know.
Well, I also get the impression that nobody's preaching at me. The only thing more difficult than being a saint is having to live next door to one. You agree?
I totally agree with that.
And a lot of what's happening in rock music, especially alternative and the new rock today, is we have to fairly wade through the sobriety. Look, I'm not trying to save the world. That's Bono's job. But I think
right. There's
got to be a contrast to it. You're talking about priorities, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it is. I think it's real, and you know, relationships. It's kind of cut down to the bone, and no crap around it. Hopefully, I kind of get what you're saying on the preachy thing, because I mean, nobody wants to hear that.
Well, you can sell the same message, but it's got to go. There's a number of different ways. I say tell the truth, but like Grandma Roth said when she was 99, tell it well.
Exactly.
And when you're looking at an artist and you're sitting in there coming across the dais and you're judging, what are the top three things that you're looking for? I'm talking to Phil Vassar. He's a super country star, and he's one of the judges on Nashville Star, which is the country version, and I'm hesitant to say that. It's
right. No,
American Idol is the pop version of Nashville Star. Let's go with that, okay?
Right, exactly.
What are the top three things that you're looking for, Phil, when a contestant comes across that stage?
Well, I mean, you want something different. I think, I kind of get sick of hearing the same thing. I think when you hear somebody come across a little bit different and handles himself pretty cool and just has some sort of edge to him, some sort of spark. I guess that's how I'm always looking for that. And just something, because I think in today's music, you really do have to be different to stand out anymore.
Well, there's a certain level of predictability because there's only so many spots on the top 40. We used to call it the left-hand side of the Billboard chart. That's where you want to live, but it's a ghetto. And everybody is and everybody is imitating each other, okay? The favorite thing of all people to do now, especially with the internet in 182 languages, is go, "Hey, wow, where'd you get that haircut?"
Yeah, exactly.
And people start to imitate each other. I'm convinced of this. And you're saying you're looking for something that's unique, a character, good, bad, philosophical, humorous, whatever, to rise up out of that. Have you seen that in the recent past? Is there a contestant who pops into your mind that?
Well, I mean, it's every year it's a little different. I think I did last year. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win, you know, because, of course, the audience is going to vote on that person, you know, vote on who they think should win. And a lot of times... You know, it seems like they're going to vote for whatever seems like it's the same as everything else they hear. So I don't know. I mean, of course, I'm looking for something a little different, and I approach it, of course, from a business end and I've been in the business a long time, so we sure can get tainted, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, what in terms of guys who are there a la The Gong Show, and don't get me wrong, The Gong Show is one of my favorite pivotal cultural moments of all time, and I maintain that we can have country gong, we can have hard rock gong, well, that one's an easy one, Ozzy, Sharon, okay, but you got hip-hop gong, you can have Tejano gong, the list is endless, we can have our own channel, and do you have your own gong star, Phil, who who stands out like Will Hung did on American Idol, who did She Bangs. She Bangs, arguably, he's one of the most famous contestants of any game show on television in the history of the sport. Do you have one of those?
I think
it's stop
hilarious.
It, stop it. Phil, are you having fun with this interview, Phil?
It's awesome, man.
Okay.
This is great, man. Yeah, I think that's a lot about what the Idol does. You know, they try to get somebody like that's not that great.
And do you have those contestants who show up? Do you filter those in?
Well, we don't filter them in. I think it makes probably pretty good TV to do that. I mean, we have parts where we will show it. I think the actual 10 contestants that make the show are actually great. You know, we don't really show a whole lot of the audition process, but. You know, I think we're probably going to show a little bit more of it this year. It's pretty funny, I think.
Of course it is. Come on. Inarguably, one of the best parts of NASCAR and your programming inarguably plays to the NASCAR voter block, which is where I was kind of born. That's my family background, the great outdoors right. and everything you can do with an engine underneath the sky, right? Well, do we go to watch the winner or the crash, Phil?
That's exactly right. It is the train wreck that makes it more interesting. I totally agree.
Yes,
with that.
There
really
you
funny.
Go. Okay, truth and honesty. Great things
it's
for
really
breakfast.
Funny.
Now, It also strikes me that some of the famous parts, some of my favorite parts, rather, of the movies is during the credits when they show the outtakes. Is this what you just referred to, that you're going to start to show some of these moments that happen during the auditions? Or do you take it more seriously and look for the artistic integrity? Which way do you go?
No. We show the funny stuff. I think we're going to show a lot of the, a lot of the people that didn't make the show and leave it up to people to understand why they didn't make the show. But it's kind of funny, you know. It really is kind of the funny part of the show.
Well, you know, country is how you start on any acoustic guitar. You know, that's the first
right.
thing that you do, strumming around the campfire. In fact, the campfire is, you know, where you first hear your first country chords or whatever. And do you find that there are instrumentalists showing up, or is it primarily the vocalists for you, Phil?
Well, I mean, I think it's, I think every once in a while, Nashville's really turned into a pretty cool instrumental place. I mean, there's a lot of great instrumentalists here and a lot of artists that are actually writing their own songs and playing their own instruments, which is really, I think, kind of different.
Okay. In downtown where I live here, is it the land of the Korean guy driving around with the Jewish chick? She's got the dreadlocks. They're riding in a low rider with a Puerto Rican flag, and they're listening to Israeli Orthodox hip hop. And I'm not kidding.
Now, No,
I am not, sir. And I've had proponents of all of this on the show here. We're just about to bring in a Hasidic Jewish hip hop star. Don't ask. I'll let you know when we're done.
That'd be great.
Okay, but for your show and for your audience, are we a tolerant culture now of Chinese cowboys? Are we a tolerant culture of black hip-hop bull riders? Are we a tolerant culture of lesbian female? Well, I can answer that one already. But are we... Is the country audience ready for its first lesbian country star? And don't point to Katie Lang, because she's an underground alternative hero. But for somebody who really stands out in a big way, look, you got Ellen DeGeneres on the TV set. You've got the L Word for the sitcom on the TV set as well. Is the country audience ready for this?
You know, I think so. I mean, I think the world's definitely changing. I mean, the country music is no different. I mean, it's really... it's going places that I didn't even think it would go. So hopefully it'll evolve and keep evolving and grow. And I'm excited about it.
In any of your contestants, do you have anybody singing in Spanish?
Not yet. I don't know. I haven't seen them yet. I mean, we start in 2 weeks, so I get to see them the narrowed down 10. So hopefully it will be. I mean, it's kind of fun.
This sounds like a great, great show. What nights are you guys on? Tell us the info.
It's on USA Live every Tuesday night, and it's a fun show. It really is great.
I've been talking
to... Come on and do it. You need to be a guest judge on there, David Lee. I think that'd be great.
I would love to be a guest judge on there. And, in fact, I just finished a couple of versions with some Nashville players. I just did a couple of versions of some Van Halen songs, country bluegrass style. I just did Jamie's Crying and Jump with some of the most famous names behind the scenes. In fact, this is the first time I'm announcing it here.
You're kidding. I mean, who played on it?
Oh, I'm not going to...
jump in our show.
I'm not going to give away the names, but these are well-known, vaunted names. We just had Bob Clearmountain, the eminent mixologist, put the mix on it and stuff, and it's absolutely stellar. The only thing that isn't completely 100% outdoor country with it is me, but I'm trying. I got the hat. I'm looking sharp. I'm feeling winterly. Let's talk, Phil.
Attitude, your country as they get.
I would love to come on down to your show and be a guest judge. Would you let me do that?
I would love to. I mean, absolutely. I'm counting on it. I'm going to make some calls on that one right now.
This it's a done deal. Like the great,
you to it, David Lee. I'm telling you.
Like the great football coach Bear Bryant used to say, it's all over but the winning, boys. Phil Vassar, country star, thank you for giving us a call. We'll see you soon.
Big fan, man.
Thank you so much.
See you, buddy.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Wow, country style. Give me stop it. Can you play that country style there, Brian? Sit up. Yeah, there you go. A little Chet Atkins style. Sasha, are you a country fan? Do you even know some of the country stars yet? Because we're going to start bringing a lot of faces through here. Everybody owns a pair of cowboy boots. Do you? I'm sorry? Go ahead. Put her up there.
I do own a pair of country boots. I just bought a pair.
Well, there you go. You're already one foot in the country mud, baby. Roth Radio. Let me see if I can hang on for the 8-second limit. Come here, Sasha. Yeah. Now, this is supposed to be the Guns N' Roses track, right? That is leaked onto the internet. Let's take a listen. I don't give it credit just yet. Let's listen. Believe that that's Guns N' Roses. Is that Guns N' Roses? You think that is, Brian? I'm sorry. Jump on the mic there. Turn. Yeah, put the roll.
Definitely Axl. That's definitely Axl.
Oh well, you know what happens a lot of times. What we do in the studio is when you can't hit the notes anymore, is when you slow the tape down just a little bit and you sing along with it, and that way it's in a lower key. Just like when it talks a little slower, and then you speed it back up, and you get a little pinch on a voice. If that's Axl, that's what it sounds like. But that doesn't sound like Axl to me. Dukes, what do you think?
I was just called and told we're not allowed to play this.
Okay, we're not allowed to play this?
Yeah, that we had a message sent not to play that.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't play it. You know, I don't want to give away what's not supposed to be there, but I don't think that that's Guns N' Roses, is it?
Well, I mean, like I said, that's Axl's voice.
You think that's Axl's voice?
Or else a complete... exact copy.
Okay.
It was him.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of people who can copy. There's only one original, and that doesn't sound like him to me. That sounds like it's been tainted a little bit.
There was a few parts in the early beginning part where I heard that certain scratchiness that was his old voice. That's him. That's him.
I can't do that too many times this early. I'm wondering if now, again, is this Guns N' Roses with Slash, Duff, the guy on the drums, or is this Axl Rose with one... just one guy. That's him. And he owns the name Guns N' Roses. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah, didn't you know the story about the Guns N' Roses name, wasn't it?
What is Animal? Weigh in on this.
Strong-armed him.
What's the story?
You know, it kind of sound like him, but it could have been an imposter. I'm not very sure about it. I would like to hear it one more time, but...
No, we can't play
it. I know it, but can't hear it again, but...
Animal, we're talking about the name of Guns N' Roses when Axl made them sign this paper.
Oh, yeah, because Slash was like, man, I don't care about Guns N' Roses, man. I just want my royalties. You can have the name. And so they signed it off to him like that. They just want their royalties.
Okay, but does Slash actually have a song even on this record? Do you know?
I can find out.
Find out. Give him a Buzz. You know him. Right. You've worked with Slash many times, right?
Yeah, I have that for you tomorrow.
Okay, because I'm curious, again, of if this is truth in advertising here. We have the ethics writer from the paper in here weigh in on this, and they're going nuts with the advertising. Listen, this comes in on the news news items here. Guns N' Roses fans went into frenzied overdrive when three studio-quality tracks from the mythical Chinese Democracy album were leaked onto the internet. Do these fans know that this is not Guns N' Roses? This is Axl Rose with a whole list of special guests, whatevers, okay? Do they know this?
It's common knowledge. Everybody pretty much knows
okay,
it.
Because then it moves down to the next thing. It says Guns N' Roses Metallica confirmed for Nova Rock 2006 bill. Great. Sounds great. Want to go see Metallica? Cool. Do I want to go see a refurbished version of the Guns N' Roses? I really question if fans are aware, because if I'm sitting here wondering out loud, and I've asked this 19 times, and I can't get straight answers. I get circuitous answers. Well, there may be a Slash song involved. Well, Axl owns the name. Well, we're not really sure. We started to play the tune here. That does not sound like Guns N' Roses to me. That sounds like other instrumentalists. And the vocal sounds very different than I ever remember Axl. Either he didn't age right or they're goofing around in the studio. I don't know. Maybe Paul up here has an illumination. Go ahead, Paul. You're on. What am I listening to here, Paul?
You are listening to, I know that is Axl Rose with different players. It's definitely not the same Guns N' Roses, but I think he does, like you guys said before, have the name Guns N' Roses, because when Slash went out with the other players, they didn't use the name.
Okay, and are you going to go see this concert?
Definitely.
Okay, so it's good enough for you. It sounds close enough. There's the cigar. You're ready to go, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Let's see if Matt agrees with you here. Matt, you're on Roth Radio. Hit it.
Hey, how's it going? I'm not going to go see them. I don't care who that was, but I don't like the people in the background telling you not to play it. How can you have a quality radio show if they're going to be snipping your nuts all the time? That's ridiculous.
Oh, I don't. Wait a minute. I don't know that that's not ridiculous. I didn't know whether they downloaded that or whether they get it from iTunes or Napster or whatever.
No, it doesn't matter, though. You should be able to play it. You know, for the quality of the show, you're not going to play the whole darn song. You're giving us a taste of what it's like.
Nevertheless, they're putting a lot of cash and a lot of effort into whatever it is they're doing. I'm not very supportive of this ethical problem of advertising it as something I don't believe that it is. But if they put their time and their effort into it and they're going to start doing their publicity mill, it's tough enough to sell a CD in this day and age. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, why don't we have some people call in who have downloaded and have heard it and could talk about, tell us what it sounded like.
That's a good idea. 866-313-3733. You guys do the record review. I can't play it on the air here because, you know, they haven't started, okay? As soon as the gates open up on this, it's going to get stolen right and left. That's what I mean by it's difficult enough to sell one record today, all right? Why make it more difficult? They got their work cut out for them as it is. Sash, what did you think of that tune, just from what you heard?
I didn't care. I mean, it didn't really sound like Axl. I think you're right. I think that they did distort with his voice in the studio. And the background, the instrumentalist, did not sound like Guns N' Roses at all.
No, you can't change one of the four wheels on a car and make a different size tire and have it drive straight. And the voice sounds like it's got that pinched kind of a tone. And the way that you do that, and I'm not saying that he did it, but the way that you get that effect is you slow down the tape when you're singing to it, and it'll be in a lower key for you. Zeppelin used to do this frequently. Went in and get those little those kind of things, and he could never hit it on stage because they slow the tape down and you sing with it. Then when you turn the tape back up 4% to the real speed, then your voice goes up like this and you start to get that kind of squeaky little Betty Boop tone.
Go ahead. Mouse sound, I call it.
Sorry,
it's the Mickey Mouse sound. I've heard of it before.
Well, if you do it too much, it becomes really evident to the ear. But then there are a lot of examples where they would do that with artists without really knowing. You'll hear things when people are just learning to sing, like in Madonna for Like a Virgin. It's slowed down just a teeny bit. I know the guys who were in the production sing it when it pops up about 1%. It's a legitimate production issue, okay? When you pop it up there, it gets a smoother, kind of a younger kind of a tone coming out of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing some of that on the Sheryl Crow thing, because it gives you that more adolescent, kind of an adenoidal sort of a sound there. I'm not saying that's what he did, but my professional left ear, which is the only one that still works, says I may be onto something really really libelous here. 866-313-3733. Rick, do you think this is Guns N' Roses, or what do you think this is, Rick? Rich.
Wait. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Go ahead.
No, I don't think. It's definitely not Guns N' Roses. And I'll tell you another thing. It's funny because nobody talks about it, but Slash, they definitely, and Sky Weiland, they definitely dissed Axl, because if you think about it, Velvet Revolver is the exact opposite of Guns N' Roses. Revolver is a gun, Velvet is a rose.
Okay.
That's exactly what they did. They completely dissed them, and nobody even, like, brings it up.
Okay.
That's Guns N' Roses, babe.
So you think it's like Fats Domino being changed into Chubby Checker?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It sounds to me like people who can't let go of the past.
And hey, Dave, I got to tell you, man, first albums are, from any band that ever started, their first album is the best album. Van Halen's best album, first album.
Well, of course, because that's when the band is all pointing in the same direction. Everybody's furious, everybody's ambitious, and most of those tunes are composed and played for hundreds and hundreds of times in clubs and bars and played for free, usually. So you gotta be ambitious or you're not gonna show up for the gig over and over and over again. Then, by the second album, you're using what's left over from the first album. By the third album, you're having to write those new tunes on a tour bus. You're having to write those new tunes in the back of an airplane or when you're incarcerated. The hip-hop nation. Anyway.
Appetite for Destruction is one of the best albums. Your first album is one of the best albums. Zeppelin's first album.
Yeah, but nevertheless, when you talk about Guns N' Roses, they say they have an appetite for destruction. That's an adolescent impulse. Had they grown up together as a band and gone where they were destined to go, they'd have a real talent for war. Give me Ashley one time here, Hutch. Ashley, you're on the phone. Roth Radio, you're talking to D-Row. Go ahead. Extraordinary.
I love your show. It is the greatest.
Thank you so much. How old are you, Ashley?
I'm 18.
I love it. And are you a GNR fan? You Guns N' Roses fan?
Oh, heck yeah. I think it's, in my opinion, they're like the greatest band next to Van Halen.
Okay, but you're talking about the original issue, or are you talking about the current reasonable facsimile?
Well, the fact that you listened to IRS...
You lost me, Hot Stuff. Let's go back to facsimile. Spell it for me. Are you a Guns N' Roses fan of the original when the real sound was there or the current revised sound? Talk to me.
I like both of them, really.
Okay, and as long as it's got Axl up front, you don't care. As long as the hood ornament says Mercedes, you don't care what the paint job is, correct?
Well, yeah, true.
The provenance of youth. You remind me of when I was young and stupid, but go ahead, Ashley. I got to tell you, I was much stupider than you were when I was your age, but go ahead, lead with it.
Well, I just want to say that all these new songs are written by Axl.
Okay, and you think that that's adequate, that he should have the name no matter who else is in there? You can call it...
Have the name because actually he's Guns N' Roses actually.
Animal is shaking his head and I'm gonna guess that Animal is way bigger than you, Ashley.
David Lee Roth, mornings.